son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, I love my children. I really do. I love my wife. I do. I love her children. But let me tell you something. They can't come between you and the master. As much as you love them, we give our lives for our children. They can't come between you and the master. This is what he's saying right here. He had to be here. These are tough words. Well, we know. We face it. We face this reality. We know what happened last week in our family. It's tough. But regardless, like I said the other night at Bible study, if you were there, we talked about this me and the wife when we got in New Orleans. No matter whatever happened in life, you have to go on. You have to keep pressing on. You have to keep teaching this until he stops you. No matter what happens, your wife, your husband, your children, you have to keep hold on.
Amen.
In the movie The Patriot, remember with Mel Gibson? Remember they're fighting on the battlefield? And what he did, everybody, they see the enemy and they're all turning back, they're running because they're losing the fight. What he did, he grabbed the flag and he's running back. Hold on, he hollered. And then the people are turning back and he win the war. This is what we all want. Look, and we're going to lose people. You're going to lose family. It hurts. It really does. And no matter what I can do, we're not the Savior. We need a Savior. Our focus, our trust has to be in Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are strong words from our Master, but it's how serious it is.
Mm.
He's a serious L.
Mm.
And he who does not take up a stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. Listen, I'm just repeating what is written for us. And this is how strong it is. And that's the problem. I don't think people really sit down and really want to notice the matter. Just the other night, I'm being reminded, just the other night, I was on scrolling on my Facebook page, and I see a family member on there, and she just put some stuff out there. And I said, you know what, out of all what's going on, we've got to pay attention to the words of the Master. That's what I'm reminding folks. If you go back and read my comments, I screenshot it, just so you don't think, I'm saying my words. I put everything on there, so we've got to follow the words of the Master. That's what matters. Doesn't matter what I say or what I think or what history says, we have to follow the Master. He who has found his life shall lose it. And he that has lost his life for my sake shall find it. I mean, what is he talking about? He's talking about, well, you're married and you got your car and your house and your family and you think you're good. And that this is life. No, that's just the beginning. That's the start. But without him, he said, you're going to lose. You lose your life without him. But with him, no matter if your life, I'm with you. I got you. He said, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me.
Him who sent me.
And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous one in the name of a righteous one shall receive a righteous one's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a talking one, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. We're not, you might have prophet status or this, that, but you can do something as serving a little kid. You know? You want your reward won't be lost because you do it in the name of the Master and the talk ones. Our posture in this fearing, let me tell you, this has many more verses for that. I'm just going to touch on a couple more. I just wanted to show you that our Master speaks on fear, and he tells us, because the Scripture warns us, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living hell. Look, things are going to happen, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's out of our hands. This is where our faith goes, that we have to put our trust in Him.
Yep.
That He sees our hearts, and He knows what goes on in the hearts and lives of men.
Mm.
So back to Genesis 42, and verse 18, he said, Now Joseph said to him on the third day, Do this and live, for I fear Elohim, In Psalms 23:4, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He said, for you are with me. But you know when you're in that fear, it's 8:59. And you know when you got this, he shared with this with me today. And when I dug into that 8:59, if you got your Strong's and you look at it, the first thing you're going to see is Aleph Tav everywhere on that ancient Hebrew. It ties into that with no fear. The Aleph Tav is in there. They got like 6 or 7 different ways you can write this no fear, H-859, and the Aleph Tav is in every one of them. And that was so beautiful. Just like he's right here in this verse 18, where you see the H-3373, the next one is 853. Aleph Tav is there. So this was so beautiful. Now that you see it, I didn't think I would. For some reason, H-859, well, I know I've got the Aleph Tav. When I push it on, it's like, he's everywhere. He's all over here. And it, matter of fact, then it goes tied into the H-853, just so you know. So this fear that our master was talking about is fear, dread, terror. That which strikes terror. It's just he don't want us to lose that respect for him. Just like we teach our children, respect our parents. We know we always say the slogan, you know, when he's saying that, man, I brought you in this world, son, I can take you out. And just to put the fear in him. Well, that's what our master does to us. I brought you in this world. He can sure take you out also. So we gotta watch how we just speak to our children. Because we ain't all of our master. Mm. So I just thought that was so beautiful on fear. But this, I couldn't pass it up. So when you sit down and you look at it, the Aleph Tav is there with you, wherever you go. Well, let me keep on reading, because we're gonna get to the good stuff here. That's just the appetizer. In verse 19, he said, if you are trustworthy, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, and you go, bring grain for the scarcity of food of your houses. And bring your youngest brother to me, and let your words be confirmed, and you do not die. And so they did. And we're still talking about living and dying here. And they said to each other, truly we are guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the distress of his life when he pleaded with us, yet we did not listen. Very important. This is why there's a stress that come upon us. Now, just about to slow down and take my time with this. Because this verse here speaks a lot of volume. This guilty is H-818. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have ever been guilty of a crime or anything, but I have. I'll tell you, last week I spent a night before, and that was my very last night. But I was guilty. So let me give it to you in the English before we go along with the Hebrew here. Word guilty is capable of or responsible for a specific wrongdoing. When I put my hand on that officer, that was wrongdoing.
Yep.
Justly chargeable with a particular fault or error. Are we at fault? That's why I'm wondering why we're here tonight. Conscious of or affected by a feeling of guilt. I mean, you know, when you're guilty, you're conscious, go ahead, man. Maybe I'll share this another time, but yeah. Sometimes when we do stuff, it'll make you feel guilty. And you know what? We should all feel guilty. Feel guilty of what? We've committed crime against the master. We committed crime against Jehovah. And a lot of it was out of ignorance. Some of it was we just downright did it. We, flesh likes to do what flesh wants to do. So this guilty is ashamed. Almost sounds like, in English, a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Almost spelled the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the word says. It's from H816, guilty, hence presenting a sin offering. Oh boy, I don't have time for that tonight because we got three chapters in Leviticus and you got to read what it cost us to get here. Go read Leviticus chapter 4, 5, and 6 and you'll see the price of what it took for you and I to be here tonight. How countless animals, blood had to be shed. You know what we learned? Where blood is shed, covenants are made. Mm-hmm. This is where this, thou cattle, you have no choice but to go there. That's why Yah instituted this in the scripture, and now it's for our learning. That something cost for you and I to be here. And in this case, it was our master. Cost him his life, the blood that was spilled. You know, back then, they put it on the doorpost, the house and lintel. And let me tell you, the priest, when you get these chapters, they had a busy job. Slaughtering animals constantly. For what? For sinner's mistake. If you did it intentional or not, it's still the cost, a life of an animal. Let's go a little deeper on that. H816. When you hit it, guess what it said? A chain. You can't get around it. And that's sin will do that to you. Let's look what it ties in, because this is what I had to slow down and really posture myself to how, I didn't know how to even explain this. It had to do with greed, breath, and desolate. Ashamed. Desolate is the wind or breath of someone or something is its character. Now what? His breath. We're a product of him because we breathe in air. We learn that. So what is that character like? We're going to get to that in just a moment. Hebrew names are given, if you look at desolate A, Hebrew names were given to describe the character. And we see that in the Hebrew, that when they were giving you a name, some people didn't live up to their name. Mm-hmm. Some faltered, some failed. And some actually live up to their name. Just think one day when you get that new name on a white stone. Mm. They talk about the book of Revelation. In the meantime, what is our character like? Because we're breathing his air. We breathe his DNA inside of us. Keep on going. Follow me down. Breath. The breath of man is character, what makes what he is. The name of an individual is more than an identifier, but descriptive of his character or breath. And there, second definition is used to identify another place. Why? Because when you run out of breath, guess where your breath goes? And the scripture says it goes back to the one who gave it.
That's right.
It goes back to another place. Now we learned something about the other night, that breath has to do with one of the ingredients of Adam. Remember, mist and dust and breath and breathe that life into them. We don't own it. It belongs to him. And we need it. So every time you inhale and exhale, remember, you breathe Yehovah, his DNA. Third definition is sky, the place of the winds, only used in masculine form. Look, he's created it. When you look out in the sky, his breath is everywhere, in everything you see, in the sun, in the moon, in the star, in the trees, in the dirt, his DNA is everywhere. That's what's so beautiful about this. And this is what really is, we're going to get some good stuff. What about aroma? Oh, boy. We're just talking about that, me and Pat, how fresh bread smells so good. Aroma, a sweet aroma that is carried on the wind or breath. What is your aroma when you wake up in the morning? Are we thinking? Is our brain being trained to think, thank you, Father? Because I can tell you, when I go to sleep at night, and when I hear nothing, I don't hear nothing, I don't smell nothing, I'm not smelling his DNA, I'm still breathing when I wake up, but I don't see nothing, I'm resting because I'm resting in him.
Amen.
But when I wake up, when I come to consciousness, out of a smelling breath, that aroma. Just think of something to think about. Also, look at all these numbers here that you give. We never run out of stuff to say, to teach or to say. Because when you go to 85561-8033, I want you to have one of these. Because I want to see what this aroma is. I need to know. Let me tell you, we just don't have enough time. So you got to take this homework. Go, just go and study it out. Look at where it leads you to, where it brings you. It all goes back to the olive tide. I can tell you. This is about to get gooder right here. Mm-hmm. Desolate. Now, we mentioned desolate at first. But as a wind blowing over the land pulls moisture out of the dry, out of the ground, slow down, spider, drying it up, making a place of ruin or desert. Astonishment, desolation, desolate, waste, wasteful. I learned that just the other day, we was in town Tuesday, we bought some flowers, making a flower garden for the wife. Let me tell you, so Wednesday, I had to go to work. When I came home early Wednesday, it was 12 o'clock. Don't you know when I came to plant those flowers with that wind blowing, that front that just came through? Them flowers were dry. I mean, and I go to this verse, this is so true. I mean, the ground was dry. The flowers, I said, this thing needs some water bad. So this is what happens when desolation comes upon, when you're not taking our time to spend with Him, we should be ashamed. And then you start drying up. Hold on, just bear with me. Don't kill me yet. How you say that? Don't kill the messenger. A wind blowing, look at desolate, a wind blowing over the land. Is Yahweh repeating himself? Because he wants us to get this. Pulls the moisture out of the ground, drying. Who's the moisture? Think about that. Who's the ground? Where does the master talk about when the seed's being sown? Where is it being sown at in our lives? Is it sown in rocky places? Is it sown on thorns and thistles? You're not just the sower. You're the one he had to sow into in order for you to sow. If I don't get this from him, I can't sow tonight. I have to get this from him. But I only get this if my aroma, if my breath toward him, my face is turned toward him. My speech has to be different. You're following me. Mm-hmm. The ground drying it up, making a place of ruin or desert. This desolate, before I go too far, H8047 is Shema. So it has almost that shame in it. And every time we come here, you should feel ashamed. It should feel ashamed that I didn't spend time with him this week. It should feel ashamed because I get too busy. If our master threw out excuses, if anybody had excuses, it could have been our master. Look at his neck, desolate one. A wind blowing over the land pulls moisture out of the ground, drying it up. He's repeating himself again because he wants us to get this. Making a place of ruin or desert. One in horror or in astonishment is one dried up in the inside. Think about that for a minute. Think about who you are when that seed is being sown. Are we absorbing what he has for us? Are we spending our time with him like we should? Are we posturing ourselves when we have just a moment? Today I did. Because it's really a little chaotic at the house this week, having company over in our big old mansion we have. You know, we're having two dogs running around. But today was just so beautiful because I dropped the guys off on the platform. I was one-on-one in the boat by myself. What do you think I'm doing? Posturing myself, because I need to learn this. Because he mentioned it three times, the wind blowing. I don't want to get dried up in the inside. But then you're no good for nothing. You can't help someone if you're dry and you're thirsty. You say, well, did our master teach this? Did our master mention anything about this? In order to find out, we got to go see. But this is what Yahweh tells us right here. Because why? That there's a famine going on. But it starts with the, don't think sow it outside the garden. Think us. You're his garden. He needs to sow seed. Because why? That's he said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. This is what I'm asking. So this teaches you about gardening. About how inside of us, that our ground needs to be tilled inside of us, ready to receive seed from our master. And then be watered, be nurtured. Because it takes time. I'm learning these things. Look, I told a guy today, I said, let me tell y'all something. I was in the lunchroom with about 10 men today. And the guy, one of the guys asked me, he said, man, how's the fishing business going? I said, well, I kind of put down a hole a little bit. I said, you know what I like doing? I said, I'm enjoying my garden. I'm enjoying being a farmer, something different for a change. I said, you know what? And I didn't like cleaning my wife's flower garden. One of the guys, and he's going, why are you doing them honeydews for the women? I said, okay. I'm enjoying it though. So, but it drew me into this, because seeing the point is, when we're not absorbing what he has for, when we come here, you should feel ashamed. You know, because when we had opportunity to spend time with him, we wasted it. We wasted time that we could have been spending with him, that are hungry. They want to know. When you go fishing, when they go fishing, they want to know. Mm-hmm. Because they see something different. Mm-hmm. They know you have seed. They know you got seed. Mm-hmm. You just need to be sown. But we can't sow if you're not prepared. If your ground is not ready. That's why you have to remove the stony heart out of it. You have to remove all this junk out of it, inside of us. Because we've been polluted with a lot of junk over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been very dry in areas of our life. I know I have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not you, maybe it's for me tonight. But if you tell me three times the wind is blowing over and it dries the ground, that's a true statement. If you know anything about gardening, you dry real fast.
Mm-hmm.
What does our master say about this? Let's go to Matthew 23. Did our master deal with any about this? Yeah, he did. Because remember, you go to 23 verse 1, he's talking about the woes of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's not where I want to go. Let's go to 23. Let's go to verse 34. Remember, he just got through scolding them because they so righteous. And he said, verse 34, he said, because of this I send you prophets and wise men and scholars of scripture. That's all I want to be. Just someone who can sit there and help navigate and learn from him. Why? The set apart spirit does what? Teach us all things. All we do is ask. There's some of them you shall kill and impale. And some of them you shall flog in the congregation and persecute from city to city. This is what he said would happen. What's going on in his time? This is what he's dealing with. So don't tell me, look, what we're talking about, we don't think we know how to deal with it today. We do. Because he dealt with it. So that you should know, so that on you should come all the righteous blood shed on the earth. How many of us are righteous? A lot of righteous blood has been shed. And he knows about it. He hasn't forgotten about him. From the blood of the righteous Abel. To the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the dwelling place and the slaughter place. Just outside New York. Can you imagine coming here one day and you just one of your loved ones out there in a parking lot? That's what happened. Say, truly I say to you, all this shall come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Killing the prophets and stoning those who were sent to her. They did these things in our master's time. This is what he's reminding them of. And he reminds us of it today. How often I wish to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you would not. A lot of people don't want to come under the wing of the Messiah. They don't want to come under his teaching, under his rule. Because, his instructions. But in his instruction, there are rules. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, just we do about anything today. It comes with instruction. And it comes with some rules in the instruction what to do and not to do. Like one like a refrigerator. Don't lay it down. That's a rule. You can do it if you want to, but you'll pay a consequence for it. He says, see, your house is left to you laid waste. Or in the English, it says desolate. G2048. Arabos. Lonesome. Desert. Desolate. Solitary. Wilderness. He's just telling you what happened, that he dealt with this. That when you get desolate on the inside, it's like a waste. You become like a desert to people. For I say to you, from now on, you shall by no means see me until you say, blessed is he who is coming in the name of Jehovah. Also, in John, chapter 8. Here he is again dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And this is some of the verses we know very well. But listen to the word. I pointed out that I want you to hear the words of our master. He says, you are your father the devil, and the desire of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. You know that with fear, this is a real thing. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Now, this is a great question right here. This is what I want to bring up. Who of you proves me wrong concerning sin? Because why? The brothers, they're guilty. What did he tell the brother? You're spies. You're guilty. You know, we're honest. We're trustworthy. Really? You're guilty. As I said, you're guilty. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a chance to prove yourself. Right now, you're guilty. This is what I have to do. Guilt, let me tell you, guilt, when sin, when you, that's nothing more than being caught. You really feel guilty. You really feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. And then to come here before the master. No, I didn't spend an hour with him out of a 7-day week, 6-day week. You should feel guilty. I should feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Which one of you proves me wrong concerning sin? What a question the master asked. Why, was he guilty? No. He had no guilt, no sin in him. Listen, but he was always trying to catch him, to trip him at his words. So he asked this question. He said, and if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? And he answers, he who is of Elohim hears the words of Elohim. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of Elohim. Mm-hmm. Those words pierced them at that time and during his days. And they couldn't stand because he spoke for the truth. Mm-hmm. There was no guilt, no lie found in him. But it just, when I sit there and I look at that, you know, and I try to picture in his mind the things that he went through and what he warned us about, we're going to go through these same matters. This ruin they talk about, I think, I almost missed that. That was. Your house was laid ruined. I want to look at that. No, this is, I'm sorry. Look at something else here. But in Jeremiah, there's something else I'm going to read here too. I want to see where would our master get his information? What are you talking about? Your city to be laid waste and become a ruin. Jeremiah, this is where it goes, chapter 22, in verse 1. It says, thus says Jehovah, go down to the house of the sovereign of shall say, hear the word of Jehovah, O sovereign of Yehuda. You who sit on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who entered these gates. Thus says Jehovah, do right ruling. He commands us to do right ruling. And righteousness, and deliver him who is robbed out of the hand of the oppressor. I mean, there's a lot of people being oppressed today. All we got to do is turn our TV on. Look, they're over there doing, it's happening crazy. You know, we hear about it, and we see it happening in real time, in our lifetime. There's real fighting going on. The ceasefire, the agreement, that's out the window. We back to
war.
War. You're right.
War.
Man, it's not enough to wake us up and pay attention to what's happening. We should be aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
People are being oppressed. He said, do not maltreat nor violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. What did Yeshua say? You slaughtered Zechariah. That innocent blood. I wonder if he just happened to think of this story. Say, for if you certainly do this word, then there shall enter in by the gates of the house sovereign, sitting on the throne of David, riding on horses and in chariots, he and his servants and his people. But I know that there comes a condition from Yehovah, because we all want the good side. We never want the bad. Remember? Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, that the blessing and the curtain. We learn all these things. We learn over time from our master. We just have to sit down and want to learn. Do we really want the truth? When our master is speaking to us, do we want the truth? Because it hurts. It stings. Said, but if you do not obey these words, I swear by myself, because there's no higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Declares Jehovah that his house shall become a ruin. Ruin of age 27:23. I was almost kind of jumping myself a minute. Is Habra, a place laid waste. What did our master say? Your house will be desolate. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So how often I want to come and gather you. Are we going to let him do that for us? Let him gather it. Oh, when he gathered up, we have to come under his rule, under his wing. And let him guard us. It's from age 27:21. A rave. Dryness. Desolation. Drought. Heat. So what happens to us on the inside when we don't want to communicate with him on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just 5 minutes of your time,
mm-hmm.
we got to slow down. We got to want to spend time with him.
Amen.
I can't imagine a day that when I wake up and I don't say, thank you, Father.
Day,
because I know nothing when I came out of sleep.
Hallelujah.
Last thing I remember, I went to bed the other night. I said, babe, what time y'all came to bed? It was midnight. I didn't even know my wife got in the bed. When a man can fall asleep in the rain, he sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking from experience.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey. Let me tell you. Oh boy. Let's not get on you. That this house shall become a ruin. I don't want to see this house become a ruin. I don't want to see you become a ruin. Because your family depends upon you. Your wife depends on you. Your husband depends on you. Our children depend upon us. It's up to you and I to hold the line. Stand firm. No time to be wishy-washy and make up our mind. We have to make up our mind now. For thus says Jehovah to the house of the sovereign of Yehuda, you will let Gilead to me, the head of Lebanon. But I shall make you a wilderness and cities which are not inhabited. Wilderness was one of the definitions. When you become dry on the inside, when you become desolate. And I shall prepare destroyers against you, each with his weapons. And they shall cut down their choice cedars and throw them in the fire. And many nations shall pass by this city and say one to another, here we go. We must put the covenant. What covenant? Right here. Mm-hmm. The red carpet covenant. They trampled it. Mm-hmm. They forgot the covenant. I don't want to forget the covenant that he made with Abraham. This is why we went over it last week. This ain't like the first time we had this. This is being a constant reminder. Because trust me, if we go to Leviticus tonight, and we're going to see all the animals slaughtered for you and I to get us here to this covenant that we need, and for our children, and for our children's children, to the third and fourth generation, this is an everlasting covenant. And they shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of Yehovah their Elohim, and bow themselves to the other mighty ones and serve them.
That's right.
Transgress the command. He says, do not weep for the dead, nor mourn for him. Is y'all being cruel here? No. He said, but weep bitterly for him who goes away, for he shall never come back and see the land of his birth. That's the one, because once you're dead, once you die, you're dead.
You're dead. So.
What we don't want to do is die.
Yeah.
But the ones that are still living, we have family that are still living. You know what? We got to pray for them. This is what he's saying here. Because they take it. Because why? You've been the right to them. Yeah. We want them to see the land of their birth. We want them to come back to where they belong. To where we belong with him. Without him, it's destruction. We're desolate. Yeah, with a house laid waste and ruined.
Right.
But let's just read one time a little bit, just a little bit, just for time's sake. Laws for sin offering. Because it cost somebody. It cost something for us to be here. It cost the life of an animal. I'm just going to read just a few verses. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, when a being sins by mistake against any of the commands of Yahweh, have we done that? Have you sinned by mistake yet? We all have. Which are not to be done, and shall do any of them, if the priest sins. Whoa, the priest do? Bring guilt on the people, and he shall bring to Yehovah for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull, a perfect one, as a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the door of the tent of appointment before Yehovah, and shall lay his hand on the bull's head, and shall slay the bull before Yehovah. And the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it into the tent of appointment. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before Yehovah in front of the veil of the sepulchre. You know why? Because he's guilty.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Just like you and I. Guilty. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the sepulchre, the slaughter place. Horn of a sort of place of sweet incense. Why? The odor for Yehovah. Which is in the tent of appointment. And pour all the blood of the bull at the base of the sort of place of the ascending offering, which is at the door of the tent of appointment. And he takes all the fat of the bull as a sin offering, and the fat covers the entrail, and all the fat which is on the entrail, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, by the loins, and the appendix on the liver, which he removes with the kidney. As it was taken from the bull of the slaughter place, soaring of peace offering, as it was taken from the bull of the soaring of peace offering. And the priest shall burn him on the slaughter place of the ascending offering. But the skin of the bull and his flesh, with his head and leg, his entrails and dung, and all of the bull he shall bring outside the camp, to a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, it is burned. And if the entire congregation, here we are, strays by mistake, and the matter has been hidden from the eyes of the assembly, you can hide from you and I. can't hide from the master. We fool ourselves. We think we got anything we can hide from the master. And the matter has been hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done against any of the commands of Jehovah, which are not to be done, and shall be guilty. You're seeing this. When the sin which they have sinned becomes known, then the assembly shall bring a young bull for the sin, and bring it before the tent of appointment. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before Jehovah, and the bull shall be slain before Jehovah. And the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tent of appointment, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle it seven times before Jehovah in front of the veil, and put some of the blood on the horn of the sword place, which is before Jehovah, which is in the tent of appointment, and pour all the blood at the base of the sword place of the ascending offering, which is at the door of the tent of appointment. And he takes all the fat from it, and shall burn it on the sword place. And he shall do with the bull as he did with the bull, as a sin offering. So shall he do it. And the priest shall make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Let me tell you, they were busy. These Levites were busy. This isn't just, oh, one Shabbat we'll kill a bull. Really? Oh, we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. But you see the price, the process that it took for you and I here. And what do we do? We act like it's nothing at times. We're so busy, we don't take time out for our master. And he gave his life. In Luke, and the entire assembly of them having risen up, led him to Pilate. I'm going to close with our master. And began to accuse him. He just asked the question, which one of you accused me concerning sin? Here we go. He's before Pilate now. We found this one perverting the nation and forbidding to pay tax to Caesar, saying that he himself is Messiah, a sovereign. Father asked him, are you the sovereign of the Yehudim? And answering him, he said, you say it. Yeah, I didn't proclaim it to myself. You say it. And Father said to the chief priest and to the crowd, I find no guilt in this man. Guilty. And he couldn't find it. And you and I, let me tell you, we're guilty. That's why I had to go, that's more in Leviticus. We have to go read. You have to go do that on your own time because it could four or five. Slow down. I read it fast. I gave you a fast version. You got to go ahead and read it slow because it costs. So here we find our lamb right here about to be slain. For what? No guilt. I find no fault in this man.
Mm-hmm.
But they were insisting, saying, he stirred up the people teaching through all Yehuda, beginning from Galilee unto this place. What else are we going to do? We're going to teach what he taught. We're going to say what he said. We're going to like what he liked, and we're going to hate what he hates.
Amen.
That's what it's going to be.
Hallelujah.
And if you crucify Spark, you flee to the next city. That's what he said to do. But somebody wants to hear it. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if this man were a Galilean. And when he heard that he was under the authority of Herodias, he sent him to Herodias, who was also in Jerusalem in those days. And seeing Yeshua, Herodias rejoiced greatly. For a long time he had wished to see him, because he had heard much about him and was anticipating to see some miracle done by him. And was questioning him with many words, but he gave him no answer. And the chief priests and the scribes stood accusing him intensely. For what? so you know, by the way, Passover is coming. Your lamb. This is what was paid for us. And sent him back to Pilate. And on that day, Pilate and Herodias became friends with each other. And you know, the world of his own. For before that, they were at intimacy. Somebody want to help me? Enmity. Thank you, brother. With each other.
Still enemy.
We ain't getting along. Kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. Mighty friends. Go figure. And Pilate, having called together the chief priests and all the rulers and the people, said to them, you brought this man to me as one who turns away the people. And look, I have examined him in your presence and found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. And neither did Herodias, for I sent you back to him, and look, he has done none at all, deserving death. Having disciplined him, then I shall release him, for he had to release one to them at the festival. This story, like I said, when it goes back, when he says, you're guilty. What is the crime? What are we all guilty of tonight? We have to repent before him. I'm guilty. I didn't spend the time like I normally spent with him because of the circumstances where I was in. But is that an excuse? Is that an excuse I can use before him because we had this situation go on and I had company at my house? You find time to make it. Could we find time for a lot of other things? Yeah. Not finding time for him, spending time with him, we're guilty. And you know what? You should be ashamed. I should be ashamed of myself. And this is what the word just ministered to me. And I hope it helped you tonight. Just go back and look and see what he said and apply it to our lives. Because we need it. We don't want to become desolate. I don't want to become dry in the inside where I'm no help to my brother or to my sister. That really hit home when the wind's blowing. And dry the ground. Does it dry us up in the inside? Because why? The soul is out to go sow seed. And he's looking for good ground to do what? Bring 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Hey, if it's 30 you bring, then it's 30. Is that room for improvement? That's why he said some 60 and some 100. But that ground has to be ready for it. It has to be tilled. It has to be moistened. It has to have the moisture for that seed that, to germinate in us. Like I said, the gardening experience. He learned so much about it. I love gardening. And the more I do it, the more I'm liking it. So, Shabbat Shalom. Just this little bit ministered to me. And I hope it does good. Go back and listen to it and apply it. Go back and look at that desolate. And read through it real slowly and see how he's talking about it and the sower. It makes so much sense when he's looking for good ground to sow on. Amen?
Amen.
Look, we have a lot of people that's out tonight. You know, remember our family. You know, it's tough times. You know, he's there. He's there. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with you. Go look right there. The Isle of Tower is right there with you. In that verse, go look at it. He's with you. It's a different number, but it's still the same Isle of Tower. But he's all over. That blew my mind when I saw that today. He's everywhere. So, other granny and mother-in-law and just, look, we have loved ones all out over this world that need us, that need help. We have to be the light for them. Amen? Father, thank you.